There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Oh, my fucking back, dude.
Yeah?
Oh.
Man, I will say, especially...
Did you just stretch before you sat to talk? What's wrong with you?
I'm already making those noises.
No, buddy.
Every time I move now, I don't know what happened to me. I will say, during a fucking, whatever our little funny little mini pandemic we're in the middle of right now, to go to a yoga class that I tried to go to, and then you sit there and you're like, the whole purpose of this is breathing. So everybody, you're in this thing and you're just thinking about, like, I'm slathered with hand sanitizer. I'm putting hand sanitizer on the fucking, my car door for some reason. You know what I mean? I'm just like, this will help me. Just like some kind of panic thought. I'll be like, this will keep me safe. Just like opening things with my shirts, bringing extra shirts with me to open up the, I don't know, it's like, I'm going insane. But then I volunteer to go to yoga. I pay to go to yoga.
Right.
And people are just going, all these people with gray toenails, like all the yoga men. Yoga men are disgusting.
Is that right?
Yoga women are all beautiful, different shapes, sizes, all expressing themselves. But something about a yoga guy, as he becomes one over time, as he morphs into one, something happens where his just fucking, his hair turns into nails. You know what I mean?
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Welcome to the Relaxed Fit, last podcast on the left. I am Ben with Marcus and, of course, yoga, Henry Zabrowski. There he is. I want to
really release that breath today, guys.
I have loved to send you guys from Syracuse, Albany, and Hartford, Connecticut. I thank you all so much for coming out to the Hail Yourself America documentary. And everyone says hello, and they love you, and they're excited to see us on the road. Whenever that happens at this point, again, when it comes to the coronavirus, we are in the same boat as all of you. We will have the same information at the time that you get the information. As of right now, all of our shows are still a go. But of course, we will play it by ear.
Things are literally on a day-to-day basis, so we have no friggin' clue. Eventually, they will tell us what we're supposed to do, and then we will do that.
Yes.
We got into this business to not have a job. But why does it feel like in this particular scenario, it's like Mother Nature is our boss?
Right.
And I don't like it.
No. Well, you know what I say to Mother Nature? I give it a hellish rebuke, which is the D&D card that a fan gave me. And I did it to Henry. And the hellish rebuke, Marcus, you point your finger at the creature that damaged you, which is you, Marcus. You've damaged me.
I have not damaged you in any way whatsoever. Well, I've done nothing but support you for 10 years.
Right there, that's damaging, because then he said that I couldn't support myself. And then so I point my finger at you, and then I say, hellish rebuke, and then you're covered in flames.
No, but you can do a dexterity roll.
Yes.
That's what he's not adding, is that you can roll a dexterity roll to deflect it.
Yeah. But no, we're taking it seriously. We're, you know, just like everybody else should.
Yes.
And, you know, as soon as we find out something as to what's going on with the tour, if it does end up getting canceled for April, then we're going to be postponing it until later on in the year, just like every other, you know, band who's had to cancel a tour over the last couple of weeks. But yeah, wherever you are, where you've bought tickets, we will come to you eventually, even if we can't come in April.
Absolutely.
Don't worry, though. Carrot Top has not canceled a single show. That is true. He has not canceled a single show. He's straight up saying, being like, they got to make me cancel. Like, that's an interesting take. Yeah. All right.
That's the performance style of Carrot Top. You gotta love him. Follow him on Instagram.
And everybody out there, you know, just be careful, take it seriously, be safe, and we hope that everybody's fine out there.
And I would just say this: I talked about this on Able Against Top Hat. You don't need all the sanitizer. Leave some for your neighbors.
Yeah.
Because if you hoard all the sanitizer and all your neighbors are still filthy, it doesn't really matter how clean you are.
Have some.
Yes.
Be
a responsible American. Please think about your neighbors and everything you do over the next, in the coming weeks and months. Please think about your neighbors. Please think about your fellow Americans.
What I was thinking about the next couple of days, what's really nice, though, is that I really get to, it's really just me mm-hmm. and whatever happened to JFK. For the next, like, 2 weeks, it's the truth, right? Because I've already been... We've been prepping for the next two episodes of Last Podcast on the Left. I'm not going to say hope it's just two. I'm pretty certain it's going to be two.
Yes.
Because there's just so many hours of tape and different books about every single thing of all the different, I'm going to say up to 12 shooters that Whoa. Were in Dealey Plaza. They were all in Dealey Plaza at the same time waiting to kill JFK, and that's according to Ole Domagarg, who is a, he just says a lot of stuff, and he doesn't need facts. He just needs ideas, but right. I am fucking up to my eyebrows in it, friends.
Yeah, I think I'm on hour 3 of 9 on the men who killed Kennedy.
I'm bringing him down with goodness. me.
He's bringing me down. I'm getting into the mindset, man. I'm getting into it.
Anytime you have a nine-hour docuseries on who potentially killed a president, I think it's going to get confusing. I think it might get confusing at some point.
Because it's really all about choosing what is everybody's favorite storylines.
Right.
Right? Because a lot of it is, I think our listeners, as they listen to those episodes, I think everybody's got their favorite pet theory. We have what we believe is something closer to the truth or whatever has, at this point, is there such a thing as a truth? I don't even know because there's so many different takes on this topic.
Right.
So we're going to try and hit a lot of some of the best hits.
Yeah.
So that you can, people in the back can be like, yeah, fucking Benchman! And they're like super excited. But Absolutely. The goal is to also weave some of the really interesting stuff. Like, how does bio-warfare make its way into the JFK assassination storyline? Right. How does multiple clones find their way into the JFK storyline? How does the Corsican Mafia find their way into the JFK storyline? It's confusing, and definitely Natalie has completely sequestered herself to her like loft office while I've taken over the entire living room with like 5 or 6 books about JFK and just his head just fucking exploding again.
Right, right. Well, that's amazing. Your wife has quarantined herself not because of a deadly virus, but because of you. So let's talk about that then, because obviously when it comes to JFK, there's a lot of side periphery stories. We want to talk about do we want to talk about Badge Man? Do we want to talk about Babushka Woman and Umbrella Man? Do you guys want to go down like the line of potential assassins?
You're going to see, so we'll have a menu set up as we go, because some of these witnesses are so much fun, and there's just, but right now we're kind of in the world of 1980s JFK assassination conspiracy.
Yeah, that's
but
the men who killed Kennedy. That's like 88.
Okay.
It's 88, which was supposed to be the definitive, we got this. But then they made 3 more after the original 6. So there's 9 hours of the men who killed Kennedy, which is, and I went ahead and I bought the old box set. Because they, like, you used to be able to get from the History Channel, like, where you used to call in, and it was another, like, boyhood dream I got to fulfill where I bought one of those conspiracy theory DVD sets.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
I just got my Encyclopedia Britannica, and I am loving it. I'm loving it. Remember that when encyclopedias were the hottest thing that's ever happened to this country?
So much information.
Well, that's how I learned how to masturbate.
Wait, what?
I started hearing the term masturbation, and when I'd sit in the bath, right, as a boy, my body would be changing and growing in different ways, just in important ways, in a way a boy travels towards a man. And I would stick my penis outside of the surface of the water and mean like, but there wasn't enough tension. I couldn't figure out what do I do to get this going.
Yeah, because so, you would be having sex with the world's largest vagina. If that was the case, you were in a tub. There is no tension.
But then I look up masturbation in the encyclopedia, and it said, I forget what was this term, I think it was self-manipulation, like, and I didn't know what to do, so I would say stuff to my penis like, you don't know how to make a meal! Like, you know, like, say weird things where I was trying to get in its head. And then I was like, no, with the hands.
You don't know how to make a meal. And then you immediately ejaculate. All right. Well, that's very good. That's actually very healthy, and you have an inquisitive mind, and you always did. Yes, absolutely.
It's very important to get the demons out.
I talk
about this, Natalie, all the time. You got to get them out of the way so you can think like a normal person again.
We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to JFK, should we talk about, do you guys want to go down the mistress's road or what? Because I know the audience has been like, first of all, thank you so much for the great response from the audience.
Yeah.
You guys have been so awesome. And as Henry said, I am excited to get to the different conspiracy theories and stuff like that, because I know for a fact people have been screaming in their cars, and it'll be nice to sort
no,
of...
Oh, no! As soon as I hear it.
Yes.
But that, well, we thought we could take a little opportunity in this episode to cover some of the stuff we don't know if we'd have time to get to in the next two episodes, that it's a little bit more just kind of juicy. Ooh. Almost in page seven category, like,
oh yeah,
it's that world.
Absolutely no, it's, we're getting into the gossipy side.
Ooh.
The stuff that doesn't really, I mean, it is a conspiracy unto itself, but it is not necessarily a larger part of the big conspiracy, although it could fit, it could plug itself into some of those conspiracies at some point.
So it's just that simple, folks.
It's just that simple. So any, you know, a president normally, like, think about how much tush Obama could have rubbed.
Sure.
If he wanted to.
Well, he had a beautiful wife. He was okay. He was very satisfied. Yeah.
Yeah, she was making love, right? She was making love to him, I imagine.
Yes,
right?
I think so.
Getting the president's devils out of him.
Yes.
Because can't you imagine how much bigger sperms do you think a president gets over time? Where they're sitting there all blocked up. You're avoiding war, right?
Right.
You're trying to avoid war. War is how a president gets his philosophical sperms out.
Sure.
Right? And so, but how do you get the physical ones out?
Well, you know,
you gotta go.
Sperm are not goldfish. They don't just get bigger and bigger and bigger.
I'd be very scared to just leave my cum in there amongst themselves.
Yeah,
because I don't want my...
One does not graft to the other until there's just one gigantic super sperm.
You gotta stomp
to death when it comes out of your cock.
It's not a Frank Henenlotter movie.
No, we're about to get into the president's mini romantic encounter.
That's one way to put it.
So can we do the theme song to the Red Shoe Diaries?
Ooh.
That was the classy one. That was too artsy for me to masturbate to.
Really? By the way, Shannon Tweed, if you're out there listening or anyone knows Shannon Tweed, tell her I love her and thank you for the memories. Shannon Tweed was amazing.
Yeah, she was great.
She was unreal.
I had her issue of Playboy.
Thank you.
I'm going to look up. I want to see how old she is at this point in time.
She
63. She looks good.
63?
Yeah, man. She's
wow.
looking good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're just the type of mistake she could make.
So one of the many personal failings that have come to light about President John F. Kennedy since his death is just how many times and with how many women he slept with while being married to his wife, Jackie.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, it's very bad to... You should never betray your wife, but...
No.
Yeah.
I feel like Jackie had a really sad marriage to JFK.
Yes.
Yeah. I do not think she was a very happy woman, unfortunately.
No, not at all.
But it sounds like she... I mean, this is me speaking completely out of school here. I have no fucking clue. It did sound like she did... managed to have like her own place in the White House. She made it a fashionable thing. Like, she was the one that made the White House and their relationship like kind of fashion icons.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, partly JFK's penchant for illicit sex has to do with something we mentioned about JFK in episode 3. And it's one of the more interesting dualities about JFK. Because of his many health problems, Kennedy lived a fatalistic, balls-to-the-wall, day-at-a-time lifestyle in his personal life, while his public policies always looked to the future concerning the American public.
What does the term... I know what balls-to-the-walls means, but at some point did someone have their balls on a wall, and then they're like, Harry is really going nuts!
Ah, this is interesting. First attested in the 1960s in the context of aviation, coined by pilots whose throttle levers had round, ball-like tops... And when they were going balls to the wall, that meant they were going as fast as humanly possible.
Whoa! Well,
I didn't think I was going to learn anything today. I'm actually kind of upset with myself. I set out to get dumber today.
See, Kennedy didn't just have his injuries from World War II to contend with. He had a series of compression fractures in his lower back caused by a degenerative bone disease. He had Addison's disease, which caused his blood pressure to wildly fluctuate up and down. And he suffered from chronic irritable bowel syndrome.
All of this shit
he dealt with since he was a teenager.
He was in a lot of pain, but he also was a war hero. He saved a bunch of people during a boat explosion,
Damn.
I want to say. But he was famous for, like, even though he was in a tremendous amount of pain constantly his whole life.
Right.
He saved a guy. Like, he pulled a guy onto an island. That was like a whole, it's a very weird mythic story where they almost died, him and a bunch of people from some disaster during a war, where he pulled a bunch of people onto this weird oasis island and they sat and watched. And then Kennedy's like, we gotta get out there. I'm the first man from the harbor that swims longer than half a mile. So I'm gonna get out there. And he said he would swim out there, and he ended up saving all those boys, those sweet young boys.
Is it safe to say that John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, those were the only two good, were they truly good Kennedys?
Yeah.
I mean, because Ted Kennedy's a murderer, and then everyone after that has, like, really, just they're just weird.
Personally, John F. Kennedy was not a great person. Bobby Kennedy, maybe a little bit better. Professionally, they were great Kennedys. Yeah. Like, professionally, they were great people. As far as, like, politicians go, yeah. Yeah, they were pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like we're going to get 3,000 emails from that statement? I feel like they're, because we're applying all of these things to them, because I don't know what good and bad even means. What does it even mean?
Well, when you compare it to presidents who came after and presidents before, like they, I would say I'd definitely put them on the top of, like, near the top of the last, I don't know, 30 years.
All right. Well, speaking of presidents coming, let's get back to JFK's love life.
Well, his experience in World War II, what that earned him was a metal plate on his spine. Ooh. But that metal plate never fully healed over. That meant that you could actually look into a hole, an open hole on JFK's back, and see the metal plate on his spine.
Ugh.
It's like Iron Man.
Yeah.
But it's got to be kind of a hot thing to do for girls. I mean, like, hey, all right, hey, go over to the refrigerator, grab a magnet. I'm going to show you something cool.
Oh, my God. The coolest thing is he's like a refrigerator.
Well, because of all these problems, JFK had to take up to 10 medications a day just to function. Among others, JFK took powerful steroids for his back problems, as well as antispasmodics, painkillers, and muscle relaxants like phenobarbitone.
Is that what we want our president on?
He still did great. I mean, he was on all this shit, and he still, I mean, I maybe didn't do well with Bay of Pigs, but he definitely got us through the Cuban Missile Crisis.
And I guess being on a bunch of Quaaludes would help during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Quaaludes, I mean, you got to be able to relax a little bit. Sure. But apparently, they're a lot of fun.
Technically, these aren't Quaaludes. I did look it up because I was curious to see if phenobarbitone was Quaaludes. But Quaaludes, as we know it, a cousin to phenobarbitone, these are muscle relaxants. You can still get phenobarbitone. Quaaludes are gone off the market and have been for years.
Is that what they gave all the kids in Nightmare on Elm Street so they wouldn't stop dreaming?
Oh, man. That's hard to stop dreaming. All you got to do is fucking smoke hash before you go to sleep, and then you'll never dream ever again.
I am happy you're on this hash train, by the way.
I don't know if I am. I feel really confused.
Now, all these health problems don't necessarily excuse JFK's behavior concerning his marital fidelity, but all that, combined with admittedly a rich boy mentality, I can do whatever I want, certainly helps you understand why JFK lived life with reckless abandon, particularly when it comes to his baser instincts. And the thing was, is that giving into those baser instincts caused even more health problems. He had sex with so many women so often that he suffered from a semi-permanent urinary tract infection.
Whoa. What?
But that didn't stop him.
I don't piss. I don't believe in pissing. I save my piss until it becomes shit.
So the guy is constantly shitting, right? Because he's got, isn't that irritable bowel? It just, you got to go.
Yeah.
And then he's got a UTI.
Yeah.
He's got a back that you can see through.
Mm-hmm.
Why were people attracted to him again?
He was very handsome from the shoulders up, but he does sound kind of inbred.
A little bit.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like he's got quite a few King's diseases.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, but he wasn't inbred, as far as I know.
No.
As far as you know.
As far as you know.
Oh, okay. So from here on out in this segment, we're going to be dealing almost exclusively in rumor, innuendo, and unverified facts, more suited to the blind items than to a serious study of President John F. Kennedy. So I'm just saying that right up top. This is going to be a lot of rumor. This is going to be quite juicy, my friends.
Ooh, spill the tea, I've heard. That's the term.
Go get your sponge, boys and girls. It's time to get juicy.
Ooh, yeah. Thank God I brought all these sponges from the grocery store. It was the only thing that was left.
All right, get ready to get dumber, I guess.
Now, this is our first dip of the toe into the JFK conspiracy world. So, I want to stress that what I'm about to talk about is not verified in any way unless I explicitly say that it has been verified.
Okay.
Because some of these things have been verified.
Can you proceed the things that are verified with dog meat says?
Don't trust me. Trust the sources.
Sure.
Sure. Sure, absolutely.
So apparently, JFK once confided to the British Prime Minister that he got headaches if he went more than 3 days without sex, and the president's aides reportedly referred to his many sexual partners as the president's aspirin.
Wow.
That was like, yeah, I mean, that was code.
Aspirin with two S's.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Kissel. Yeah.
There it is.
Man, I miss a president who drinks.
Well, was JFK a booze hound or a butt hound?
I think both. You got to be both if you're going to be both.
I mean, he was a party boy.
Was he a party boy?
He liked to party. I mean, he wasn't. I wouldn't call him a booze hound. I would, if I were to choose out of him or Lyndon Johnson.
Oh,
like,
Lyndon is a booze hound.
Yeah, who consumed more whiskey? Yes. I would say Johnson.
Absolutely.
Well, Lyndon Johnson. LBJ didn't need to fuck. To feel good. The power of the presidency was almost enough for him. When you're JFK and you're born into power and born into money, I imagine even just being president is kind of boring. Yeah. That was kind of what one of the weird outsider things they said about that was interesting about our current president is that he was so used to having staff, he was already yelling at people and giving people orders from inside the White House, where most people that arrive at the White House for the first time, it's the first time that they're having like a butler or a chef or like those types of high level, like super rich accoutrement. And right. JFK was just super used to it.
And by the way, we've gotten a lot of reaction to the amount of knowledge that I have about Lyndon Johnson's dong. There's very few things that stick into my mind, like the memories of Lyndon Johnson's penis. Cool. And it's talked about extensively in documentaries.
The dude that you remember that we got one email, I forgot the story of him, LBJ, pissing on the leg of a Secret Service officer. And he's like, Mr. President, you're peeing on my leg. And he's like, I know I am. That's my prerogative.
That is why it's surprising that Kennedy was the one that got killed.
But that's not to say that JFK was some sort of Don Juan great lover. Yes, he did sleep with a lot of women, but according to starlet Angie Dickinson, quote, sex with Jack Kennedy was the best 20 seconds of my life.
Whoa!
According to her and many others, JFK did not believe in foreplay and engaged in sex almost compulsively. It really was get naked and he stuck it in for 20 seconds. He was done and then it's like, okay, let's go eat.
Wow. It was his aspirin.
Yeah.
It literally just was his medicine. He just needed to get it out of his... I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, but he had to get it out of there. And then, unfortunately, you are fucking a president.
Sure.
So, I mean, does he have a lot of time?
This started long before he was president.
He was a senator.
Senators
don't have that much time. And then before that, he was a tennis player, I think.
They're super busy.
He's a World War II veteran.
That was exhausting.
that was a big one.
Yes. All right. So he's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, let's go have some steak.
Absolutely. Now, besides Angie Dickinson, JFK was also rumored to have slept with socialite Mary Meyer, mobster moll Judith Campbell, alleged German spy Ellen Romecht, his press secretary Pamela Turner, and two White House aides nicknamed Fiddle and Faddle.
That is disgusting, by the way. That is absolutely disgusting. Also, if you're Fiddle, at least you're not Faddle. Like, if you're Faddle, you're like, oh my God, I wish I was as cool as Fiddle.
Oh, so wish that he didn't call me Faddle. I wish that he just at least call me
Fiddle.
No, he calls me Fiddle because I like to play the fiddle and I love to suck his weird
suck his fucking cock.
Yeah. I mean, no one ever, as far as I know, really commented on the president's penis size. I mean, and I usually take that to mean average.
Average,
you know?
Yes.
If no one says like it was particularly small or particularly large, because with Lyndon Johnson, as we know, it was particularly large and people talk about it quite a bit.
I mean, he also didn't have sex with Eileen Wuornos, who apparently just gosses all about penis size. Who was it? REO Speedwagon? Who was this?
It was REO Speed. It was a guitarist from REO Speedwagon.
Oh, I thought it was
Foghat.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look up how tall JFK was. Hey, he's 6 foot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's probably, he's probably not, but he's not like, it's not kind of like, you know, how gangly nerds. A lot of time have like huge cocks.
Oh, yeah.
You have really thin arms and really thin legs and are very tall. Sometimes you have a big dick. But I think if you're 6 foot tall and fairly compact, your penis is probably pretty normal.
It's probably normal.
Yeah. And according to author Gore Vidal, who's a bit of a gossip.
I think so indeed. Best of Enemies is actually a very interesting documentary. Gore Vidal
Who is Gore Vidal?
He's a philosopher. He was of a time where we really wanted to have intellectuals.
Yeah.
And he would go and he would debate William Buckley, who started National Review, and Gore Vidal was the liberal and Buckley was the conservative, and they actually made it they got very famous. I believe it was the 64 election actually, where they were on live TV fighting with each other, and they are actually very fun to watch each other fight, but they hated each other in a very rich person way. And although he is American, he had a British accent.
Yeah. Well, Gore Vidal's, he's one of those people kind of like Truman Capote back in the days when we would...
Iconoclast.
Yeah, iconoclast. Yes, exactly.
Whoa, like he was in Gattaca.
Gore Vidal was in Gattaca?
Weird. Yeah. Underrated movie.
Oh, that's where I know him from. I know him from the movie With Honors. With Joe Pesci, Brendan Fraser, that's how I know who Gore Vidal is. Because I was looking at his face, I was like, why does he look so familiar? He was a teacher in that movie where Joe Pesci plays like a fairly like exuberant and brilliant homeless man that lives on the campus of Harvard, and all of these people at Harvard live with him. It's a great movie.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Well, according,
I help the show.
Yes, you do.
Well, according to Gore Vidal, famous silent film actress Marlene Dietrich both had an affair with JFK's father, Joe Kennedy, in the 30s and slept with President Kennedy in the White House when she was in her 60s.
Woo!
I don't know. I'll share a lot of things with my dad. I don't particularly need to do that. But.
Well, apparently, from what Gore Vidal said, from what Marlene Dietrich told him, like, she was invited to the White House when she was in her 60s. Apparently, JFK had a crush on her since he was a kid because he remembered her being around all the time when he was growing up.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, because so he was fucking her five.
Having sex with his dad, yeah.
Yeah, he made a move. She's like, you know, I'm quite a bit older than you. And he's like, I don't care. I think you're beautiful. And then so he has sex with her. It's wham, bam, thank you, man. And then afterwards, he's like, did you sleep with my father? She's like, no, but he did try. And then John F. Kennedy goes, I knew he was lying all these years. I know it.
Rich people.
Wait a second. Let me smell your vagina. I smell my father's cock.
God. You know, people always criticize like Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, oh, my God, look at those people. Look at those disgusting people. The wealthy elites are the most incestuous, most disgusting group of people that there is.
There's a whole Vanity Fair article like just about this, like just about Marlene Dietrich and the Kennedy family. And yeah, it's all very socialite centric. It's all these rich people like coming together and hanging out with each other and all the weird shit that happens between, you know, especially rich people in like the 30s.
Ugh.
I did hear DiCaprio once say, which is true, and he's just like, unfortunately, I can only date supermodels.
I know.
Because they're the only people that understand me. So like when he said something like that, you're like, oh, okay, that's why all of these people have to fly in old silent movie stars to make love to, because they're the only ones that can, I guess, keep a tight lip about it,
even though
you're having sex with the whole family.
Well, that's why you always want to go with the silent movie stars, not the ones that are in the talkies. I got puns today.
Now, the thing to remember about the Kennedys was that their fame did not begin with JFK. He was not the first famous Kennedy. Joe Kennedy was a well-known figure in American politics and had been a well-known figure for decades. In addition to that, his paternal grandfather was a state senator, and JFK's maternal grandfather had been both a congressman and mayor of the city of Boston for two terms.
Damn.
So Kennedy comes from political stock. So when John F. Kennedy started getting into politics in the mid-40s, he caught the attention of one J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover, of course, director of the FBI from 1935 to 1972. And he's, of course, one of the most notorious figures of the 20th century.
We should cover J. Edgar Hoover. Yeah. At some point, I think that he is a compelling figure. Uh-huh. He changed our country. I don't know for good or for bad. I think when his name comes up, I mean, I am want to maybe make one or two comments about him wearing female underwear, sure, panties and thongs. I mean, because it seems to be the only thing that I want to joke about. But I know that there are so many other layers of things that are horrible about J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, yeah.
That are not just him wearing panties.
Isn't it?
But that's
strange?
Not even horrible. That's the nicest thing about him.
Exactly. Isn't that strange that, like, back in the day, that was, like, the thing that he had to keep quiet?
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, that is the only thing that makes you relatable.
Yeah. You turned the FBI. You tried to, like, create an SS,
yes,
for America with the FBI, and now the only thing we can all, everybody's so appalled by the fact that you had like mesh on where your ball hairs could come through, where I think it's nice to see those little spiders.
Sure. What name do you think sends more of a Richard Nixon, J. Edgar Hoover?
Ooh, Nixon.
Nixon?
Yeah, you go to Nixon?
Okay. I'm gonna go Nick, because
I think Hoover actually had more power, although
Nixon extended the war in Vietnam on purpose for years and technically committed treason.
But did not Hoover wanted the war. Well, I guess he was out of the office. No, he was there in the beginning of the war.
He died the end of the war. He died in 1972. Oof. Yeah. So he was FBI director until the day he fucking died. He was, I think, 77 years old when he died, and he was still FBI director.
Damn.
Wow. The thing is about J. Edgar Hoover is that he would use the FBI to hoard compromising information about public figures, and he'd just keep it in his back pocket for whenever he needed favors or if those people decided to fuck with him. And as soon as JFK was on Hoover's radar, Hoover started a file on JFK's many sexual conquests. Now, JFK knew that Hoover had information on most of his affairs because Hoover told him he had the information. Because what good is that information if the other people don't know you have it?
Absolutely.
I know what you're fucking, you busty boy. Yeah.
You know that I'm having sex with a bunch of women, which makes me like a super cool dude? You think that's going to hurt my presidential candidacy?
You don't know what fun I arrest people. That's so masculine. It's so masculine, it's so fun. Yeah, I wish I had breasts. I do. I wish I had them. I mean, I could go get them if I want to. I'm head of the FBI, but I don't. Because I have to hold myself back.
You know, Mr. Hoover, if you want to wear a woman's dress, you can. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed.
You try to reach out to me.
No, why are you?
You try to reach out to me.
I know you're a real person down there. I know you have to have a soul.
Nope.
Well, JFK fucking hated J. Edgar Hoover because Hoover constantly had something to hang over his head. And he also didn't agree with the way Hoover conducted the FBI. Mm. And it's said that JFK tried to get rid of J. Edgar Hoover in 1962, but Hoover brought up Kennedy's alleged affair with Judith Campbell, who was also attached to mobster Sam Giancana, and Kennedy backed off.
Is that Sammy the Bull?
I think that's Sammy the Bull. Is that
No, that's not Sammy the Bull. Sammy the Bull was, I believe, in the 80s.
I know nothing about mobsters.
I don't know much about mobsters either. Although I am wearing full velour suits now, so I will learn instinctively.
Just one of these
You
things.
Are also, you. I don't want to blow up the spot, but you drink at a mob bar.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
You know what?
Oh, I know that.
What's funny is I was about to say, it's like, man, one of these days, like, we're not going to know where you are, and we're going to find you on Graham Avenue. And then, I just realized you do drink on Graham Avenue, which is Graham between Metropolitan and Meeker is like the
Kuklinski. It is seriously. The Iceman killed someone two blocks away from one of my favorite sports
Serpico. Serpico happened on that street. It happened where the Blue Stove is.
Yeah, where I used to work, where I used to wash dishes.
That is why I love Brooklyn, because of the history.
Mm-hmm. Concerning the affair with Judith Campbell, it is actually documented through phone records, although former Kennedy staffers and supporters all strongly deny that there was ever a relationship between the two of them.
Mm.
Even so, in her memoir entitled My Story, Campbell said...
Thank God it's not called My Struggle. That has bad connotations.
Well, she said that she was introduced to John F. Kennedy through Frank Sinatra in yep. Las Vegas in 1960,
ooh,
back when John,
awesome.
Back when Kennedy was still running for president.
Wow, that's fun, man.
Yeah, to be a fly on the wall there, just
yeah,
watching
to hear
these
the,
people.
I'll get out of here. Where's my salad? I ordered a salad from room service 45 minutes ago.
Well, Kennedy and Sinatra like knew each other. They were friends. They hung out and shared lovers as well.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's the thing. These are not like pansexuals like David Bowie or Mick Jagger or even now like a Timothy Shamalinga Ding Dong or one of these like young actors that could probably fuck for hours on end. These like threesomes with Frank Sinatra and JFK lasted 2 minutes of them just clinking scotch glasses while you blow them through their tuxedo pants, and then they sit there. But the whole time they're like, we gotta blow up Cuba, Frank. Like, they're having like the most intense, clandestine, weird, like OSS style conversations. It's like, it's gotta be, at least that's gotta be interesting. So you're like blowing Frank Sinatra going like, oh, that's interesting. Like, but what happens is you start to absorb secrets that might just put you in danger.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a victim of MK Ultra thinking of Frank Sinatra and JFK. That's something that people would be like, oh, you're insane. Like, no, I was blowing Frank Sinatra when he was talking to Kennedy about blowing up Cuba. They're like, yeah, you're an idiot.
Well, I mean, there were quite a few of these women were sexually free as well. Like Marlene Dietrich, when she later talked about all this, she's like, I had many sexual partners. And they're like, why? She's like, they asked.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Marlene.
All right.
Well, this woman claimed that they started their affair in Las Vegas and continued it for 2 more years while Kennedy was in the White House.
Hmm.
But this woman also made plenty of outlandish claims. She said that Kennedy once, she said that Kennedy once went out, hired a whole shitload of sex workers, brought them back to the White House, and they had a party at the White House pool.
He's like Post Malone. Cool.
But I do feel bad for Jackie at some point.
Oh, of course.
Because she really is just watching all of this happen while she just gets to pick out swatches.
Well, I think Jackie also had lovers.
She must have had some side pieces.
I think Jackie had an affair with one of the Secret Service agents.
Ooh, that's like, a hunk.
Yeah, that's definitely a hunk. But yeah, I think they were both dabbling. I think they had an understanding.
Well, my question is, the Onassis family was very famous as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this was a marriage for political convenience, right?
That's why they call it Camelot.
Well, what I've heard, though, is that she had real affection for JFK, and the two of them actually did have fun with each other. And it's like specifically JFK and the Unspeakable, that book kind of spells out that their time during Texas was actually a kind of a peak for their relationship. They had kind of they were opening up more to each other, and it was a thing. But I think they had genuine affection for each other. I think that they also knew that they both served a purpose to each other. JFK, with Jackie Onassis, created a picture of the country that then, unfortunately, when that bubble was popped, led to kind of the kind of diasporic, whatever the fallout of that, which was kind of just a massive bummer. It went from things being super fun and cool to we just killed the cool president. Now all we get is screaming LBJ.
And you know what? I don't want to, man, sometimes we're just too good at this, and I want to warn the audience for what I'm about to say, because it is really, really funny. Jackie Onassis, he definitely showed her what was on his mind in Texas.
You're a fucking asshole.
Jesus, Jesus.
It's a pun. It's goddamn it.
Jesus
that's
Christ.
You are.
God. All right.
Ben,
problematic. You are speaking about the president of the United States of America.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm against what happened to John F. Kennedy.
Brave.
Thank you. They said I couldn't do it.
But without a doubt, JFK's most famous sexual partner and his most well-known affair was with film actress Marilyn Monroe.
Ooh, Norma Jean.
Man, she was hot. Not to, I mean, not to say anything too controversial. Oh,
we are really making some bold choices today.
Real brave to say hot. Marilyn Monroe was hot.
But she was like 5'2" as well. But I like, you know, oh, whew.
Well, Marilyn Monroe, what was it about her? Because if you, it's funny because
she was funny.
She was funny. She was a total character, and
she was brilliant. She was very, very smart. You must remember this as a really good series on Marilyn Monroe. I like that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marilyn. She was funny. She was beautiful. You know, she was in. You know, everyone loved her when she was in movies. But she's now known as one of the most tragic pop culture figures of the 20th century. Yeah. And back then, she was one of, if not the biggest movie star in the world. And her life was indeed tragic. But her tragedy only deepens when you consider her relationship with John F. Kennedy. While JFK thought of her as nothing more than a sexual conquest, Monroe at one point considered John F. Kennedy the love of her life.
Oh, no.
Reportedly, she fantasized about a storybook ending with JFK, where the president would divorce Jackie Kennedy, kick her and their children out of the White House, marry Marilyn, and move her in, all while remaining president.
Wow.
It was not a realistic fantasy.
But she was notorious for that type of magical thinking almost, where she was a very sensitive and loving, I'm not going to say naive, but she was kind of almost childlike. And she kind of thought that, and this is where we talk about how power can inherently manipulate.
Right.
JFK is the president. You are on this kind of magical ride where you are a chosen person by American society to be a movie star. Like, and this was different. This is when you were a movie star in the 1960s. Every human being knew your name.
Yeah.
Like so many people knew who the hell you were because there were so little avenues of entertainment. You can't have little niche groups like we have.
Exactly.
She was out there and she was already an icon.
Right.
And just the build of it, because you could see, be like, and then we're going to live together. And then I'm going to get a giraffe and I'm going to name him Thomas. And then I'm going to send missiles to Cuba myself, wipe them out one by one, and we'll go into Vietnam. And we're going to wipe out each one of those villages and spray poison on all of those families.
Well, Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Oh, your Marilyn Monroe sounds just like your Michael Jackson.
It does. It's very similar. It's very similar. I didn't realize Marilyn was such a war hawk, but I guess it makes sense.
Now, JFK eventually saw the dangers that a fantasy like this could pose, especially considering how famous and famously unstable Marilyn Monroe was. Because by the time you got to the early 60s, Marilyn Monroe was starting to have some very public breakdowns.
Mm.
Because she was with Joe DiMaggio. And that didn't work out. Joe DiMaggio fell in love with her desperately, but it didn't work out. And then she was with a very famous playwright, Arthur Miller.
Really?
Who was, but that was more intellectual and strange, because that was her trying to appeal to, I'm smart too. And so she wanted to be with this guy, but then it was very cold. And so, but all of these massive flameouts were happening, and the president's like, you're going to need to get out of here.
Yeah.
I am very surprised Arthur Miller was able to do that. He wrote The Crucible, right?
Crucible, yes.
Crucible.
Yeah.
Crucible? Crucible.
Crucible.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is. Those guys, he pursued paper and a tape runner, and he go click, 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 click. And he makes people talk to each other.
I just feel like he's not really worthy of Marilyn Monroe. That's all I'm going to say.
What are you talking about? He's a
brilliant.
Genius. An absolute genius.
How do you think he got Natalie?
The Crucible is a brilliant piece of art.
It's fine. I'm just saying, he's not a hunk.
We have to have things that equalize everybody's standings in this life. Arthur Miller had his brain. His brain was equivalent to Marilyn Monroe's status. You have to it out. How else? How do ugly men like us have sex? You have to have something else.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. All right. I'll give it to him.
Well, the story goes that Kennedy sent his brother, Bobby, who was also attorney general at the time, to Monroe's place to break it off. But instead, the rumor goes that she ended up having an affair with Bobby as well.
Whoa, that must have been an awkward conversation when he comes back and he's like, well, I got good news and bad news. The good news is it is off. The bad news is I'm having sex with her now.
And this is the point where we really get into the conspiracy. In 1962, Monroe famously sang "Happy Birthday, Mr. President."
And have you seen it?
Oh, dude, this on-camera performance is so dripping with sexual tension.
It is awkward.
We still talk about it today. I would imagine that our listeners, more of you have seen the "Happy Birthday, Mr. President" video than have seen an actual Marilyn Monroe movie.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's the case. I'm surprised Jackie didn't shoot her in the frickin' head.
Well, by that point, she was not going to many public events with JFK. Like, they used to have their separate events and their together events, because this was a birthday celebration for JFK. He went alone, the smile on his face. He looks like when I discovered weed. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like an 18-year-old me. He's going, like, he was so excited to see it. And she's just smashing those boobies together. She's like,
Mr. President.
Doing full sexy baby. And so it is wild that they let that happen. Yeah. Like, just being like, I fucked that. I was in there. And they're all like, good work, Jack.
Good work.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a cultural... I mean, there was a fucking Wayne's World joke, you know, happy birthday, Mr. President. It is a cultural touchstone
forever
of 20th century history.
Absolutely.
Well, following that, it was rumored that the government discovered, JFK, whoever you want to say, the Secret Service, they discovered that Marilyn Monroe was keeping a detailed diary outlining every experience she ever had with both the president and Bobby Kennedy, which meant that Monroe had the power to blow up the entire dynasty.
Which is so sad. She really was just trying to remember, and she was just chock full of pills.
Interesting. Did she really have a diary?
Don't know.
This is all the speculation. Okay, this so is she all had the a speculation. Lot of power.
This is all
Dog
rumor.
Meat Says.
Yeah, this is not Dog Meat Says.
No, I have a feeling it's not going to end well for Marilyn.
Of course, Marilyn Monroe on August 4th, 1962, was found dead. Now, officially, her death was ruled as a probable suicide due to an overdose of pills. And considering her myriad mental health issues that were only getting worse leading up to 1962, this is a reasonable conclusion. Mm-hmm. But according to conspiracy theorists, Monroe was murdered by the Kennedys to keep her from going public with her affair.
I mean, if you think about this, as far as conspiracy goes, let's start with Sandy Hook was fake to this one. This is not that implausible.
No.
Right? Because
she
had enough information, these people are very freaking serious.
Yeah.
If from what I have been reading about the CIA in the 1960s, they were very, very powerful and they were kind of out of control. They had a lot of shit going on. They were completely outside of the office of the president. Anything really could have happened. They had manuals on how to kill people in ways that they were undiscoverable. That was kind of their whole thing.
Well, this is not a CIA conspiracy, though. This is a Secret Service conspiracy.
Oh. But there's also Secret Service bullshit that we are going to cover very heavily in our JFK conspiracy episodes. Because, again, it was like private police for the president. And so they have what they believe a bottom line, which is that we have to protect the presidency. And this is more Games of Thrones than it is now. Now more people are willing to politically throw somebody under the bus. Then I kind of almost feel like they took their jobs of protecting the president almost a little too literally.
Well, I mean, it begs the question, is like, at what point does threats, both foreign and domestic, become threats to power?
Interesting point. Okay.
Yeah. And it could be that the Secret Service decided to do this on their own. It could be that they did it under the orders of the president. Or it could be that Marilyn Monroe just killed herself.
All right.
I wish they could do the thing, but like, just send a Secret Service guy over there just to break up with her. You know what I
mean? Maybe like, that's what happened.
But then the Secret Service guy starts sleeping with her, and the whole thing just starts all over again.
I got good news and bad news. The good news is the relationship is over. The bad news is she is dead. Yeah. She is dead.
Now, from what conspiracy theorists say, the level of barbiturates found in Marilyn Monroe's blood was equal to 40 pills. That's what the autopsy said.
Ooh-wee.
But there was no residue of the capsules in her stomach. If this is true, then that means that the barbiturates would have had to be delivered in another way. But an injection would have left a mark. So the evidence put forth by theorists suggests something far worse.
Rectal.
Yes.
Rectal.
They did? Is that serious?
What? Yes, that is absolutely serious. Marilyn Monroe's body was found naked, and a pathologist determined that her lower intestine was bruised, very bruised.
Get out of here.
Which means that the fatal dose of barbiturates could have been delivered by either a suppository or an enema.
They butt-dosed her?
They might have. It is a possibility.
How do you accidentally, or make it seem like an accident, to butt dose someone?
Well, that's the
thing.
You
have to be like,
it's only
the remote control's over there. It's over there on the floor. Like, you throw the remote control off the room and go, I get it. And she's not wearing anything underneath her robe. And then you pretend to sneeze as she bends over, and then you throw the pills at her asshole.
No, I would imagine if we're going with this scenario, I would imagine 4 Secret Service agents showed up, very large men, held her down, stripped her naked, and delivered the fatal enema or suppository, one of the two. But
why wouldn't you just shoot her in the head? That's one of the theories.
There's another, because you need to make it look like a suicide. You have to make it look like a suicide.
Geez.
And this makes it look like, and if you don't look too closely, then it does look like a suicide. There's also another theory that she was given this enema, but what actually killed her was a shot of air to her heart, which caused a brain embolism, and that is what actually killed her. There's a couple of different theories. And furthermore, the coroner was reportedly pressured by his superiors quite hard to sign off on the death as a suicide, because he was saying, like, there's some weird shit here.
Right.
And then the superiors came down and said, like, you need to sign this off right now. We need to get this done. And within 12 hours of that death, all her telephone records vanished.
Oh, my God.
Which could have only been done by the FBI or, more likely, the Secret Service.
It's very, because it is shady as fuck, right?
Right,
which is what we talk about quite often as you peer deeper into the JFK storylines, how many of these kind of, like, wiggity things happen again and again and again. Like, why, though? Besides just, maybe just general interest.
Right.
Maybe she did commit her, there's one storyline here where she did commit suicide, and then retroactively, they realized how much information she had, and then they scrubbed her. They went through everything as much as possible and tried to do it after the fact she committed suicide, because now she's dead, and now they can get away with it. They killed her.
I mean, it could very well be that, you know, there's a lot of phone... there very well could be that Marilyn Monroe called up the White House, called up the line that she has to Jack Kennedy or to Bobby Kennedy, and threatened to kill herself and said, like, if you don't leave your wife, I'm going to kill myself. And then she actually killed herself. And if people look into those phone records, they say, oh, look, she called why was she calling the president? Why was she calling Bobby Kennedy right before she killed herself? That introduces a lot of fucking awkward questions that they don't necessarily want to answer. So it could be that they scrubbed the lines because of that. And there was no, it's not a conspiracy to murder. It's a conspiracy to cover up. That could be it as well.
So we do know for a fact that her death probably benefited the Kennedys.
Her death absolutely benefited the Kennedys.
She was a rogue agent out there with a lot of sensitive information.
Right.
It came from the fact that a man will say anything the moment before he comes. Up until he's coming, when he is up to the point where he's fully, like, you can get him to convince. I think it's more effective than torture.
Yeah.
If you can get him to shoot right afterwards, and go, like, oh, now you're going to have to die, Marilyn. Unfortunately, you should have let me come first.
He screams Fidel Castro's name and then comes a bunch?
I don't know.
Who the hell
knows? We put in a fake butler in the Castro household!
What was that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly. But this is another thing. It's just like so many other things. And the Kennedy assassination will absolutely never know the truth. And that's the funny thing is that had it not been for Kennedy being murdered, this might have been like the big conspiracy involving John F. Kennedy. Like when you look back on John F. Kennedy, like when people say like, oh, John F. Kennedy, he was such a great president. It's like, well, did you know that he probably killed Marilyn Monroe?
I also
This is one of the lowest of the JFK side quests when it comes to the conspiracy.
I guess I'm having a bit of a hard time understanding. I know that we were in a much more traditional time when it comes to marriage, when it comes to there was a lot more monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if this would have sunk his presidency. I mean, all of a sudden we find out that the president had sex with the biggest actress in
At that time, it would have been guaranteed to sink his presidency.
I think so, because it was really about...
Wasn't it an open secret, though?
People, this is before now. They used to be able to contain information before the internet. I really do believe that. I think that no one truly knew. I think that there was rumors. I think when she came out and basically did the... like squishing her fluids onto a stage singing for his birthday, I think that might have made a bunch of people go, that seemed really flirtatious. Like, I think that that might have been a thing, and quite of that honestly probably does help some of the buzz of the president saying like Marilyn Monroe is openly flirting with the president, and that's kind of cool.
Just cut to the old men Muppets being like, they're fucking. They're definitely
they are fucking.
Well, that's one of the things that I was wondering as far as like conspiracy goes, like conspiracy to kill John F. Kennedy goes. It's like, if they truly wanted JFK out of the Oval Office, if they truly wanted him to stop fucking with them, why didn't they just release the information about his many affairs? They had proof. They had proof. Like, it would have sunk. It would have been guaranteed to sink a second term for John F. Kennedy. Why wouldn't they just do that? That's so much cleaner. It's so much simpler than murdering him, hiring Corsican mafia members to murder him, or anti-Castro rebels to murder him. Like, why wouldn't they just release his, I don't know, say like, hey, the president fucked 20 women last year, including one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Like, why wouldn't they just do that?
If you believe some of the more passionate conspiracy theories, it was done on purpose to show we can kill a president in front of hundreds of eyewitnesses, in public, in a convertible, and no one can stop us. That is the most nefarious, if we want to take the levels of, like, that is the level red version of the CIA wanted to show everybody how big their fucking cock and balls was.
Right.
But I don't think, I think it's very insane, but who knows? Because what we'll get into, the book JFK and the Unspeakable really paints it that the CIA was immensely, I'm going to say almost, they weren't angry, they were disappointed with the fact that they were slowly but surely getting kicked out of the White House, and they weren't being listened to for all of their various suggestions. None of their shit was being listened to, and they maybe wanted to make a really nasty point.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, it also seems like Hoover could have just released this stuff at any time. Maybe they were planning on it, and then Oswald got in the way, and they were like, well, it's going to... I guess... I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but Hoover liked having it because that meant... Hoover holding on to it meant that he could stay in power.
Oh, my God, buddy. You know what it's all about? Henry, you know what it's all about? Battlefield Earth. Leverage.
Leverage.
Battlefield Earth?
Yes.
It's all leverage. The entire movie is John Travolta talking about leverage.
It is not a good film.
Oh, it is one of the worst movies of all time.
Oh, no. And if you want to hear more about Battlefield Earth, listen to this week's movie sign. They did an episode on it, yeah. And Trace is in the studio and everything. It's a great episode.
That's great.
I want to tell you a tiny little bit. This is a quick little sidebar of just to show an example of just some of the craziness that happens inside of the JFK assassination conspiracy world.
Okay.
One is there's a famous character within this. Well, we will hit a bunch of these as we go through our conspiracy series. But one of these guys, one of the famous kind of, and so I want to say entities of the JFK assassination, was a character called Umbrella Man. Umbrella Man was a man that was seen very publicly from one angle from the Zapruder film and another angle from a very famous picture, I believe by Mary Moreland? Mormon?
Mormon. It's the Mormon picture. That's also where Badge Man comes in and all that shit.
Yeah, it's Badge Man, all that kind of shit. And there's a picture of a man on a, because on November 22nd, 1963, it was a beautiful day, temperate. It had stopped raining. Sun was shining. There's a picture of a man standing right by JFK as he is getting shot with an open black umbrella for no reason. And it became a series and a focus of contention for many, many people for many years. And it's one of those showings that show we don't know a heck of a lot. There's a lot of ominous shit that comes out of the JFK assassination that you start to think like, oh, there's no way there's a normal explanation for whatever this is. There's no way. This has to be something that involving the conspiracy. But then you find out sometimes some of these things just have an explanation from left field that totally makes sense. And you're left wondering, oh, shit. What the hell is this?
Yeah. Well, is it possible he had very sensitive skin like that one character? For I was watching Logan and the character that can't go out in the sun. He burns and burns and burns.
Yeah.
Maybe he had something like that. And he was just trying to block the sun.
Nope. It was stupider than that.
It was.
Yeah, you'll see. It's very interesting.
What did it do?
Umbrella Man had a large function in Oliver Stone's film JFK. And the idea was that the Umbrella Man, what he was doing in the conspiracy world, was either signaling when JFK was at the proper point to be shot, where he opened up his umbrella, and then the shots from the 12 different assassins that were all in Dealey Plaza could all ring out at once, right? Or it itself was a weapon. The CIA had a, during the House of the Panel of the Investigation of Assassinations, I forget that what they did in the 70s, the redo of the Warren Commission.
Yeah, the House panel.
One of those things they showed was a possible idea of a weapon that could come from an umbrella, like the fucking Penguin, that you'd open up an umbrella and it would shoot a paralyzing dart into JFK. That's what they said one of his throat wounds was a dart that went into his chest that made him do what we now know, thanks to our listeners, what's called the decorterate posture.
Where he got shot into...
That's called, it's called a decorterate posture. And then we went up in that weird little hands under his chin, arms straight out, thought he was getting paralyzed by a dart from this umbrella. Turns out, all that's horseshit.
Okay, yeah. What happened?
Well, the umbrella dart, that was also a big Bill Cooper thing as well. The shellfish, they say it was like a shellfish toxin that was shot into the president to paralyze him.
Is it wrong that I want it to be true? Because it sounds really fun.
We all do, but there's a lot of stuff that turns out is, did you see that thing I sent you last night?
I haven't watched it yet.
When you do that, you'll learn there's a lot of other shit that then comes up that is also nefarious as fuck. But this is very interesting. So during the United States House Select Committee on Assassinations, they want to be like, where is this Umbrella Man? Bring him to us. We want to see the Umbrella Man. We will not believe anything until we meet this man. And then finally, a man named Louis Stephen Witt, he came forward in 1978 saying, I am Umbrella Man.
Okay.
There is a really interesting mini doc on the New York Times website from Errol Morris called The Umbrella Man that also is a good little explanation. His name was Louis Stephen Witt. He claimed that he had this umbrella, right? And he brought it in to the commission and they opened it and they looked at it to make sure it wasn't a weapon. And he said he brought the umbrella to heckle Kennedy himself. For his father, Joseph, who was a supporter of the Nazi-appeasing British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain.
Uh-huh.
This is because, so it's nerd shit.
Yeah.
He said by waving a black umbrella, he was showing, because that was supposed to be Neville Chamberlain's trademark fashion accessory.
Oh.
He used to bring a black umbrella everywhere that he would remind JFK in a protest of his father appearing alongside someone who would dare appease anything close to an agreement with the Nazis.
I'm going to say this to Louis. He overthought it. When you see the president, you should be like, fuck you.
Fuck you, buddy. Fuck you, buddy. That's
all you got to do.
Well, I mean, Joe Kennedy, he was one of those guys that he thought that World War II was a European affair. He wanted to keep America out of it. He wanted to appease Hitler and just like, if we just get him this, he wanted no war at any cost.
Well, if you think about the economics of it, that's probably not a bad idea.
But it's just very interesting to see one of those. It's his left field explanation for something that was highly mysterious.
Interesting.
But when you watch the thing I send you, Dogmeat, you're going to see it is literally wild. It made me go, It's just another one of those. I am starting to think, uh-oh, I'm getting closer and closer to thinking that there was maybe another shooter, but I don't know.
How wild, is it as wild as like the Badge Man photo where they tried?
No, that is dumb. Badge Man is dumb. We will get into Badge Man, yeah, but Badge Man is really, really stupid. Yeah. It is not real. That is not, it is not in that picture.
Are we getting into, can we get into that today, or are we doing that in our conspiracy episode?
Let's just say Badge Man is an example of periodelia. You know where you
would
see,
you call me?
I think it's called periodelia, where it's seeing human characteristics in blobs, in pictures, and various other things. Where they saw there, someone took a picture. And through that picture, people have been able to see a possible second shooter a badge. You know, so it would say like, okay, this is a guy that, you know, was part of the assassination squad, and he dressed as a police officer in order to blend in that day.
Okay.
Legitimately, it's interesting to see how it is a real life version of you doing the Dogman segment last live show, where you just put lines over a smudge and they're like, there he is right there. You see the clear outline of a police officer behind the fence, and like, you just made an outline.
Yeah.
It is not outlining anything, because then they just added more outlines. As you get through the men who shot Kennedy, they're just like, yes. And actually there was another man over here. And actually there was a toucan standing right there, which we actually do believe was a trained CIA toucan that was selling cereal, very interestingly.
Bizarre. Fruit loopy indeed. And by the way, our special will be coming out very soon.
Very soon.
Last
very
year's soon. Live show, we filmed it in wonderful New Orleans, and that will be out for you to buy very, very soon.
Yeah, in the morning. They started talking to witnesses that were on the grassy knoll, that were in Dealey Plaza. The more they started talking to those witnesses, the more they were able to shape the smudges into the sorts of things that they needed them to be in order to put forth their theory.
I mean, we learned this from the TV show Lost. Smoke can be a monster. It can be very dangerous.
You know what it has? Ask anybody with lung cancer, Kissel.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah. Think about that. Think about what you said.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. And be responsible for it.
I am responsible for it.
Mm-hmm. I've given up the vape.
Why?
Wow.
It saved your life.
My vape? Yeah, but that's
the thing.
Because
you were smoking 2 packs a day.
Now I need to give up the vape to save my life. Now I'm doing the lozenges.
Now you got
to
get off the lozenges.
You are seriously Uncle Buck right now.
Hey, man, sometimes quitting smoking does take 7 years.
Yeah, I'm quit smoking. I'm on to cigars now. Next, chewing tobacco. Yes.
I'm moving to pipes.
Then you're moving to pipes.
Yeah.
Good.
But don't worry. Yeah, everyone, if you're looking to quit out there, sometimes it takes a long time, but never give up. I haven't had a cigarette proper in years. But
hell yeah, buddy. That means a lot. Yeah, and then you get all that asbestos out of your system.
Yeah.
You know what's a good rewatch right now, if you are doing the stay-at-home thing, which you should? Fucking Amazing Stories. Not the new one on Apple TV, the old one.
Mm-hmm. Amazing Stories is good. Also, another thing that's fucking amazing right now, Dark.
Dark came technically, I think, came out 2 years ago. We are just discovering
it. We're just discovering it, but Dark is the shit. It's fucking amazing. It's like Twin Peaks mixed with Lost, mixed with Stranger Things a little bit, but not anywhere. It like takes all the cute out of Stranger Things, and you think it's starting off like, oh, this is just Stranger Things, and then it totally turns into something else. It's fucking fantastic.
So
I love it.
If you were looking for recommendations of what to watch from three uncles, you got it. You got it.
Also, if you run out of toilet paper and they're not selling it in the store, you could just wash your ass in the shower.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have a detachable shower head, that's what I was telling Carolina a couple of days ago. Is it like, if we run out of toilet paper, we got a detachable shower head. We've got a bidet already set up in our fucking apartment.
You're going to lose your wife to that fucking detachable shower head as soon as he starts coming. Massive buckets.
When you're a woman, you could switch from your butt to your pussy back and forth.
Exactly.
Is that disgusting?
That's what they do.
What do you mean that's what they do?
They go into the shower. I have seen it. They go to the shower. They run the water. Yeah,
it's great.
Nice and temperate. Yeah, of course.
No, yeah. This is a great time to be alive.
Absolutely. If you want to, now that you mentioned the going to shower to wash the tushy, the Mystery Pooper episode of Roundtable of Gentlemen, if you haven't listened to that, go and listen to that, because it's one of the funniest trials of all time. I think that might be what happened.
Yeah.
I think someone was washing their butt in the shower. This is a little inside baseball for those folks that don't know Roundtable.
You are still trying to take fucking control of this narrative.
I didn't
You're
do it.
You're still trying to do this.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know this story, many years ago, someone shit in Kissel's tub. We it's don't very, know who.
I was not there. He did not do it. There was two people who took a shower.
He obviously
Holden's
did
Holden's wife stepped in it.
Yeah, and yes, and Holden's wife, Lexi, accidentally stepped in it, and we still to this day have no definitive answer as to who took a fucking shit in Kissel's tub.
It is truly the biggest conspiracy we've ever covered.
I wonder. It's almost as bad as Mattressgate.
This is what, 6 years ago?
Maybe.
7 years ago?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're still litigating still it to this day.
Oh, yeah. It's a very
it just shows
fun thing.
The reverberations of what happens when you have gap in actual data, right?
Yeah.
That's when
absolutely.
The actual conspiracy theories start fucking sliding in from the sides.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have a culprit, because one of you flushed the evidence down the drain, someone got rid of the evidence. If someone had held on to the shit, we could have taken it into a doctor and find out whose shit it was.
Yeah. No, I actually didn't ever ask. What was the crime scene protocol?
She stepped on it and she put it down the drain.
She literally used her toe and took all that evidence and pushed it down the drain.
I mean, I think it's better she didn't collect it and put it in a petri dish.
This is the equivalent of the Secret Service stealing JFK's brain.
That's exactly what it's like. All right, do we have any more information or are we good?
We're good for this week. Thank you very much for listening to The Relax Fit, everyone.
Yes, thank you all so much for listening to The Relax Fit. Some side information for the JFK assassination. And these next two episodes, they are going to be thick.
Very
with
thick.
Info, and I think they're going to be super exciting. And as always, crack research, boys.
Crack research. I'm just going to keep it flowing, man. I'm going to be, I can't wait to not have anything constructive to talk about with my therapist besides what I know about JFK and his assassination.
That's great. And your therapist said you're doing really well.
Yep, she said I'm healed, actually. I graduated.
Oh.
Yep, I'm healed.
She said you were healed, huh?
Yep, she said I'm best now. Now I'm actually, I do therapy for her. Which is, it's great. No, so I passed. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Grant.
Yep. Completely not insane. I actually have a stamp that says it, like from that Simpsons episode.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Again, we will keep you abreast of any new information that we hear when it comes to our April book tour. As of right now, everything is still a go, and we will hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And take care of yourselves out there.
Wash your goddamn hands.
Wash your hands. Wash your tush.
Mm-hmm. If you're sick, stay home.
Yes,
if you're sick, stay home for now. I know that it's difficult, but let's do this 2 weeks. Let's see what happens in 2 weeks.
Yes, absolutely. Especially if you have immune issues, please take care of yourself.
Please.
And just be cautious. That's that's all. You don't gotta have your hair on fire. Just be safe.
And as always, be kind to your fellow Americans and wherever you are in the world. Anybody, you know, our listeners in England, I know things are getting a little weird there. People out in Italy, I know things are getting real fucking weird.
Oh my goodness.
I know things are not looking great for a lot of people, so just, you know, just be kind to your fellow human beings and be careful. Take it seriously, but don't panic.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Ogin.
Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me. I'm going to go to the booze store.
You're going to go to the booze store?
Oh, man, yeah. I went to the wine store last night to pick up a couple of bottles. Man, the people in my Brooklyn neighborhood, you could just hear them say, like, if I'm going to be quarantined, I'm not going to go through it without a couple of bottles of Cabernet.
No, I need something to cut the panic.
The struggle is real.
That place was packed.
Yet again, Marcus, that is the irony of everyone freaking out going to the supermarket and to the liquor store. That is where
it's
people
true.
Are. Oh, my God.
Well, and also if you have some elderly neighbors, the nice thing to do would be go get some groceries for them.
That would be very
sweet.
So that would be really nice.
So think about the ways that you can, instead of thinking about the ways you can take care of yourself, think about the ways that you can be kind to each other. And if we all do that, then we'll get through this together.
That's
and if
right.
If you're like me, you go and you give them a bunch of nice groceries, but you put one prank grocery in there.
Yeah. Got to. Like that stinky fruit.
Yeah.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.